Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Thursday, the 4th of June, 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad to have you and your tea and your chocolate with me.
Yes, it appears to be Thursday again, so that's cool.
Yeah. Also, for people who for whom this is the most important part of the program, Thursday, just so you're following along. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin.
The only reason I'm here.
I also have Brian with me today. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly.
Well, that was a real roller coaster. So, Charlotte, I actually wanted to start with you and talk a little bit about how apparently Tim Cook is going to be open to some lawsuits.
Well, yeah, so let's be very specific about this. A U.S. district judge called Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers has ruled that Apple can face part of a lawsuit, and that the part that they can have, it revolves around comments Tim Cook made apparently in an analyst call in 2018 about iPhone sales and how he thought production was good. And
2018 or 2019?
November 2019, sorry, you're quite right.
Oh, okay. So last year.
Yeah. November 1st, 2019 was the call with analysts. And very shortly after that call, a lot of production was slowed down and curtailed. And the judge ruled that basically it was impossible. I'll read you her exact phrasing. It is simply implausible that Cook would not have known that iPhone demand in China was falling mere days before cutting production lines. Apple shareholders said they have lost money through this. And looking to take action. I've been told they can take action on these grounds.
Right. And that word is important, right? She said implausible, not impossible.
Correct. Okay. That's why, the exact quote she read was, it is simply implausible.
And she may well be right. And Apple can either prove that with internal documentation or they can't. And if Tim Cook said that iPhone demand is strong when he knew that it was not, that, in fact, would be a problem for Apple in terms of shareholder fiduciary responsibility.
Right.
But if Apple and if new light came to light between that analyst call and when Apple ordered the change, and I'm going to point out that it is highly unlikely that anything else is the case from the standpoint of Apple would have already ordered the reduction in production if they knew that was necessary.
Right. And I should note that this, it's not only about sales in China, but that's a very key element to what the claims against Apple are. If just to kind of back up what Brian has said, again, the judge wrote about the decision to curb production, that it plausibly suggests that defendants expected unit sales to decline absent some natural disaster or other intervening reason, and then it is simply implausible that Cook would not have known iPhone demand in China was falling. So that's her take on why she's allowing this class action to go forward. It could go into the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it could, probably won't.
Well,
they'll probably sue for untold billions.
Sure.
But, you know, even if Apple ends up losing this case, it will be settled for a fraction of that. And, you know, mitigating circumstances, including Apple stock production since, would certainly be an issue. Apple could conceivably argue that it was a fast moving situation because of the developments of COVID-19 and coronavirus, whether or not that was specifically identified. Yeah, there's all kinds of ways that Apple can probably fight this. I want to stress that if Tim Cook did know that iPhone demand was falling and said during an analyst call very specifically that iPhone demand remained strong, that actually is a problem.
That's a huge problem. Right.
He can't do that. But for that reason, because the last time I checked, Tim Cook is not an idiot. And the last time I checked, Apple doesn't tend to make really bad, stupid fiduciary responsibility mistakes. It is likely that there was, in fact, information that came to light between that conference call and the actual order to reduce production. And the thing is that this allows the shareholders to actually, you know, get discovery and actually get information. And, you know, none of which Apple was certainly not going to disprove the claims if they could actually just squash the lawsuit in the first place.
Right.
But it turns out that they can't. Of course, Apple could appeal this decision too.
So because this is a shareholder lawsuit and Brian is talking to us about it, Brian, please cue your disclaimer.
Yeah, I am a very tiny, tiny Apple shareholder, and it has never affected what I say about Apple in any shape, manner, or form. But for full disclosure, there you have it.
Yes. And I agree with you, Brian. There are two pieces of this that I find hard to believe, and that is that A, Tim Cook knew something and went on an analyst call and said something else.
Yeah.
And the other is that if Apple were considering reducing production, that they would have sat on that information if they had a compelling reason to reduce production. It wouldn't have been a, like, we should maybe do that when we get around to it kind of a thing. They've never been that company. They haven't been that company for many, many years because Tim Cook used to be the supply chain guy. And so it was kind of up to him to make sure that sort of stuff was always fine tuned. And if it was fine tuned, it was up to him to make sure it was even more finely tuned. So like, that doesn't
to say though,
neither of those seems very likely. Possible? Well, yeah, but neither of those seems likely based on what we've known of Apple for all this time.
Right. And I don't think that there is any problem whatsoever with allowing this suit to take place. I just expect Apple to win it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah. If somebody has a reason, please say it. Yes. I always want to have that conversation. So, yeah, absolutely.
The other thing that I don't know, it's a kind of a tangent to this, but it's part of the same conversation around fiduciary responsibility and the way Apple has behaved and responded in uncertain times is, of course, Apple was relatively out there in front when it changed its earnings forecasts and things like that. It didn't, at points when the situation in China was really, really bad, Apple didn't pretend everything was really, really good, as far as I can remember from my reporting.
That is correct.
Right.
Now, obviously, a CEO of a company is always going to try and be positive. That's also kind of his job. But I think it's fair to say Apple has been fairly transparent about this stuff. I know we'd always like more data and information on subscribers, on all sorts of things. We nag and whinge about it the whole time on this show and in our articles. But generally, as this crisis has played out, I think we've had a relatively good picture of where Apple as a company is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I agree with that statement there that Charlotte came up with. I'm going to go ahead and have to endorse that with my own opinion.
Don't you have to say, I'm Brian Chaffin and I approve this message? Isn't that how that works?
I'm Brian Chaffin. I approve this message.
And
theoretically, I should be anyway, whatever. Yeah.
And there's your new text tone. Thank you.
There you have it, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. As we find out more about this, we will definitely be letting you know about it, and you will be able to see those updates over at MacObserver.com. If you have feedback about any of this also, whether it's the lawsuit or whether it's any of our topics, or you have a hot tip for us, you can always get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Now, today we have a sponsor, and our sponsor is Devon Technologies. Devon Technologies develops apps for handling the flood of information that you have coming at you at all times, and they handle it based on unique artificial intelligence technology. So their flagship product is Information Manager DevonThink, which is the most professional document and information management application available on macOS. DevonThink helps you collect, file, and annotate all kinds of documents without ever having to leave the app. You can have a live web page like a Google Doc that sits right next to a local PDF, and all of it will just work together. You can organize things in groups, or you can tag them, or both, if that's what you'd prefer. You can create smart rules and flexible reminders for any document. And even if you're not a programmer, there are a lot of ways that you can very easily automate a lot of parts of your workflow and hand off all of those boring, repetitive things to DevonThink and let DevonThink take care of them for you. Now, just for my listeners, you can get a 10% discount on a new DevonThink license or on an upgrade at devontechnologies.com/TDO. That's DEVON technologies.com/TDO. And again, 10% off a full new purchase or 10% off your upgrade. And that's devontechnologies.com/TDO. We would like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, our other topic is sports. And so it's Yay! Fortuitous that Charlotte and I are here as the two sport watchers at the Mac Observer. We're the two sport observers at Mac Observer, I would say. So Charlotte, what's the latest here?
I think Dave watches the sport too.
Does he?
Dave has been known to, been known to watch the sport.
Yeah, and John will watch the sport.
Well, Charlotte, I know Charlotte and I actively seek it out. So I seem to be the top two. So, yeah.
I've been having withdrawal symptoms. It's been hard times.
Yes. But Charlotte has discovered what a non-sport watching lifestyle looks like the last couple of months and does not enjoy it.
It's very strange behavior. but it looks like one of the ways I can feed my addiction in the not too distant future will be Apple TV Plus.
Go on.
Yes, Apple appears to have scooped up James DeLorenzo, who is an Amazon exec. He's also looks to have been an investor and is an SVP at Audible, which obviously Amazon owns. But the thing he's done mostly at Amazon is it's sports broadcasting, it's sports videos.
Mm-hmm.
Which has even come here to the UK. They broadcast Premier League soccer games,
yes,
live not so long ago, which actually worked pretty well
when that was still a thing. And yes, we talked about it here.
Yep, exactly. And so Apple has gone, oh, sports on television. That sounds like a good idea. Let's find a person, and it appears Mr. DeLorenzo is the person. Now, this is all in the mix of rumors we've been hearing about Apple TV Plus anyway, the next stages of that service, you know, buying things like the MGM back catalog, buying another older material, and also moving into sports broadcasting in some way. So it looks like this is kind of shoring up those rumors somewhat. Personally, it makes a lot of sense to me. I think not just because I personally like watching sport, but a lot of other people like watching sport. It's another reason to use Apple TV Plus. There aren't that many at the moment, and crunch time is coming pretty quickly now because we're getting to November when that first year is going to start running out for people. There needs to be something that makes them pay. And obviously, and you've got to say that live sport, it looks like it's going to be things like college sport initially. That's obviously a draw for some people. And it broadens out what is on offer on Apple TV Plus, which is the kind, you know, it's kind of like the conversation we had about the Central Park cartoon. You've got to start broadening this service, and sport is a very, very high profile, expensive but not impossible for a company like Apple way of doing that.
Yeah, I wish I had figured that out before Apple made this move, because then I might have looked clever. As it is,
you did. You told me. I remember.
No, I did not. And because like we've talked a lot about, like the so Ken Ray on his show, he had asked me if I thought Apple needed legacy content or franchise content, and my reply to him was that Apple probably doesn't need it, but that it would help Apple. That was my take, and I stick by that concept. The reality, and we here on TDO and on the Apple Context Machine and in our writings, we have also talked about the potential value of Apple having some kind of franchise show like Friends or Seinfeld or Cheers or, you know, like whatever the show might be. Those are all comedies, but whatever. The reality yeah. is that sports could play the exact same role, maybe with a slightly different demographic, but sports right. broadcasting of some sort, especially if they're an exclusive source or maybe even just the best source mm-hmm. for some form of sports broadcasting, could play the exact same role that having a you know, vast catalog of legacy content or having very important legacy shows could they could all play the same kind of role. And I just, like I said, I wish I'd really thought about it
before. Well, I think part of that though is that, like, we haven't seen a whole lot of dipping the toe into that, and I don't know how much of that is hello and welcome to an early edition of Media Monday, everybody. I don't know how much of that is the current contracts that are out there for where and how professional sports, at least in the United States anyway, are broadcast. You know, everybody makes a joke about how you're not allowed to watch this without the written consent of Major League Baseball. And, you know, there's something to that. And like I know there's been some change in the NBA contracts recently for those broadcast deals. And there's been other stuff about how football is going to work going forward as well. And generally those things aren't making it easier for people to see it. Those are making it easier for networks to make money on how they get to show that to people. I can talk to you a whole bunch about surely this because not. it's a thing that is frustrating my family.
I can't believe that.
I know. I have a personal stake in this because my dad lives 300 miles from the basketball team here in Portland that he enjoys watching, that he is not allowed to watch because he's in what's considered the blackout area, because and he can't get the right cable provider there because they don't exist where he lives, so that he could get to watch all the games for free by virtue of having the sports channel that carries all of the Blazer games. So, yeah, it's a thing, and it's dumb, and I really want it to change. So if something like this gives Apple enough of a foothold and people realize that using those 4K devices and hooked up to 4K TVs are going to give them 4K sport broadcast, and it's going to be a much better experience. Like you said, Brian, it doesn't have to be the only one if it's the best one. Then, you know, and I remember like MLB At Bat being a thing that I could get on my Apple TV, even on my first Apple TV. Yep. So, if that's turning into a proven model and something that people will do, then I'm into it. Because like you said, it's a different demographic, but you will be hard pressed to find more devoted people than those people, than sports fans.
Yeah. Just a couple of things to add to round off this story. We should give out a shout out to Peter Kafka at Recode, who was the one who tweet scooped this, because it is a good story, and it's I think it is telling us something about the direction of Apple TV Plus. I'd also just like to slightly throw in the mix that this seems very Tim Cook. Tim Cook is a big sports fan. He is a particularly big fan of college sports.
Yes.
Like, you can see how this has happened within Apple, I think it's fair to say.
Well, I wonder though, is this a reaction though? Is this a reaction to, or is this been in the, is this been always been the plan? Or is it been a plan for a while, right? I mean, there's different ways in which this could have actually become a thing. And the fact that it's just happening now is kind of interesting to me. It makes me feel like it is a bit reactionary.
Do you think? I'm not so sure. I suspect that if you looked at, you know, the kind of Apple TV Plus mind map, I imagine Buy Sports Rights was there before Buy a Back Catalogue of Stuff. I think the buying a back catalogue of stuff is quite reactionary. I suspect the sports stuff has always been in the back of people's minds at Apple TV Plus, if you're asking me.
Well, we don't have any evidence either way.
No, we don't. No.
I get where you're coming from. It does feel reactionary to me, but I have zero idea that that's the case. Regardless, I think it's a great idea. And could really help Apple TV Plus be a thing. Now the question will be which sports, you know, if it ends up being water polo, and if it ends up being a bunch of really, but curling would be a huge thing.
That's true.
Whoa, don't be rude, guys.
Love
Team
curling.
GB have a curling gold medal from the Winter Olympics in my lifetime. I will hear nothing of this.
Okay. No. And regardless.
Dodgeball. Like really, how's that? Obscure, what they used to broadcast on ESPN 8. Remember in that movie? Yeah.
The Ocho.
Yes.
If it's really obscure sports that Apple is able to get its hands on, and that's it, that's not going to be as much of a game changer. But if it's platform level sports, it'll be good.
Yeah, I think it'll be great.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually.
Yeah, and it's definitely a thing to consider.
Given that the whole point about Apple TV Plus has always been about quality, I think Brian's point is really the crucial one.
Yeah, if Apple TV Plus becomes the premier home of darts,
that's gonna make hundreds
of people happy. Hundreds.
Ryan.
Hundreds of people. Cool. Are you okay there, Charlotte?
I have to go anyway. We're gonna have to call it. I have to go get a sweater because I'm suddenly standing in a whole lot of shade. So that's gonna do it for us today.
Hundreds.
Brian, quit while you're ahead. Okay. And also, thank you for being here today, Brian.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here. My other guest, Charlotte, might disagree. But Charlotte, I appreciate that you are here as well.
My resignation will be in your inbox shortly.
All right. I'm pretty sure this is the point where, Brian, where I'm supposed to tell you I'm not speaking to you, or that Charlotte isn't speaking to you. Anyway, I am your host, Kelly Gaman. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.